me a loud amen when you get there. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and start reading. Now, Jeroboam the son of Ahab became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Verse 4. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jeroboam went out of Samaria at the time and mustered all of Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go?" And he answered, "By way of the wilderness of Edom." Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Father, we just pray, God, that Father, you'd move me aside. You speak tonight, God. I pray that you'd open every heart, every mind, Lord, that Father, you know exactly who's in the room, God. And I just pray, Lord, that each person here, God, that you would meet their spiritual needs. They've come in empty or broken or needing a word, God. I pray that you'd provide that tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat here tonight. I know that story was not that exciting, but I had to get it out of the way before I jumped in. So here we see what's taking place, 2 Kings chapter 3, that Jeroboam the son of Ahab became king. So this is Ahab's son. He becomes king. And the Bible says that he tore down the statue of Baal, which of course was the false idol that Ahab had worshipped and made the children of Israel worship. So he tore it down. But then it goes on to say that he still did evil in the Lord's sight. He still sinned according to the Lord. And so what happens here is Ahab was making this other king, the king of Moab, like pay him. He was like a hundred thousand lambs and 100,000 of wool of goats. And so when Ahab stopped, he says, "You know what, I'm not paying no more. I'm not going to pay no more." And so here we have the king of Israel, then we have the king of Judah and another king, the king of Edom, and they're going to go and they're going to fight King Moab. So this is where we're at. We're going to jump right in. And so he comes to the king of Judah, which is Jehoshaphat, and he says, "Will you fight with me? Will you go and will you fight with me?" Now, see, back in the day that Judah and Israel, they were allies. So when Israel needed someone to fight with them, he would go and they would ask Judah to go with them. And when he asked them, "Will you fight with me?" what he was saying is, "Will you and me, will we be unified against this specific enemy? Can you come in agreement with me? Can you come and help me battle against this enemy?" And I love what Jehoshaphat says. Jehoshaphat was a much more righteous man than this other king. And what Jehoshaphat said when I read this portion of scripture, it stuck with me. He said, "You know what? I am as you are. I am as you are. I am who you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horse. We are the same." And what is, you know, you turn on the news, you know, the stories that are going on in Virginia and back east. There's such division going on in our country right now. People from different skin colors and backgrounds and different ethnic groups, what they're doing is their division is, you know, when there is division, what the enemy loves to do is divide and conquer. And it's so sad that how we can have all these enemies abroad. But you know what? Enemies are going to be abroad. You will never defeat the enemies of out there. But the sad thing is when you have enemies in here. When there is division and disunity. When there's brother against brother. When there's Christian against Christian. When there's American against American. See, the Bible says that a house divided cannot stand. So we see here Jehoshaphat's response. And I'm not preaching just on this subject tonight. But Jehoshaphat's response, I am as you are. I am as you are. Imagine what we could do. Imagine what the churches here in Albuquerque could do. Imagine what Victory Outreach Albuquerque could do if we had unity. You look at the story of the Tower of Babel, when everybody was in one mind and one accord and had one purpose, one vision, speaking the same language. God had to come down and say, oh no, you can't build that tower so high. There was nothing that would be withheld from a people that are in unity. You know, this church wouldn't be big enough if we had unity. These walls wouldn't be big enough. We don't have enough chairs if we had unity. But when the people of God can get on the same page, get in one mind and one accord, there is nothing that can be withheld. There's no treasure hidden in darkness in this city that we won't be able to find. It doesn't matter if it's a white treasure, a black treasure. It don't matter if it's a ruby, an emerald. It don't matter what kind of treasure. Because in Victory Outreach, we don't just look for one kind of treasure. But we are treasure hunters in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Y'all shine the same when the light hits it. Bling, bling. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. See, when you have help, someone can help you win. And when you need help, someone can help you try again. When you have help, someone can help you win. When you need help, someone can help you try again. I like how it says that, but someone that falls alone is in real trouble. Come on, somebody. So let's stand back to back. You can conquer. It says, stand back to back, not stab each other in the back. Ow! Bible says that they shall know we are Christians by our love. By the love that we have for one another, for the lost. See, we got a problem in our society today. That too many people are just identifying with stuff. Look at all the stuff that's going on with the gender and the, you know, you can do whatever you want. I identify. Right? I identify. I could go whichever restroom I want to go in. To me, some people even identify as Christians. They say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't exactly follow what the Bible says, though. You know, but I identify. I say I'm a Christian, so I must be a Christian. But I don't read my Bible. I don't go to church. You know, I don't pray to God. But you know what? I identify. See, the problem is we have too many imposters walking around. We have imposters. We got phonies and frauds. We have people that say they're one thing, and then their actions and their beliefs contradict what they say. That's what I like about this Jehoshaphat guy. He didn't just say, I'm with you, but then he saddled up, got his troops together. Verse 9. Okay, I promise you I'm not running for any kind of public office. I will now get back in the message. I'm just glad I could walk today. I had a basketball tournament. Good Lord. I remember when I used to play basketball. You know, I'm kind of a big and, you know, but I had this crossover, right? And sometimes when I would pull this crossover, I would what they call break somebody's ankles. Where they like, and they fall, you know what I mean? It's really impressive to watch. I did it once the other day. I'm not going to say who. He knows who he is. But I found myself on the court on Saturday. I did a crossover, and I thought I broke my own ankles. Verse 9. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. Somebody say seven. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So what's going on here is here's the king of Israel. How many know that Israel is God's chosen people? Right? So here's the king of the chosen people. Right? They go around, they go the roundabout route. And if you guys ever know what, you guys know what a roundabout is? Right? It's the thing that's that stupid circle. Right? Where you gotta, right? So even if you want to go right, you gotta turn left. And you gotta follow it around. And then if you miss the turn, you gotta all the way around again. Right? The roundabouts. So they're going the roundabout route. And the thing about the roundabout that it's only one way. See, the thing is that when we are called to do something great, sometimes we got to take the long way. There might be an easy way to get where we're supposed to be, but we're not going to be the person we're supposed to be when we get there. I said you might get to the destination, but you're not going to be the person that God has called to be in that destination at that time. So they had to take the long way around, and it's only one way. So if anybody ever tells you there's more than one way, tell them no, it's around. God, Jesus, it's a roundabout process, only one way. They take this roundabout way, and then for some reason, you would think there's three kings, three armies. These guys are supposed to know what they're doing, right? They didn't bring enough water for the journey. Now, you can live without a lot of things. You can live without Twinkies and Zingers and Cap'n Crunch. But the one thing I know is you cannot live without water. So they forget to bring enough water for the journey. Right, so what do? All of a sudden, the king of Israel, the king of God's chosen people, starts to say, alas, oh, God is, and he starts to blame God. Have you ever been there before? You ever been in that place? He's like, why, God? Right, and it's the little thing, and next week you laugh about it. God, why? Is flat tire, or stub your toes, or dog peed in your shoe? Just me? Okay, whatever. So he starts blaming God. But to see, the funny thing is the king of Israel had long been worshiping other gods. And then you blame God for your problems. That's like, how many of you have a church membership? Okay, now how many of you have a gym membership? We're going somewhere with this. No, I'm the only one with the gym membership. Okay? Now, the thing is that if you're out of shape, you cannot blame your gym membership. Listen, I am a Planet Fitness black card holder. I am in shape, but it happens to be round. But it ain't Planet Fitness's fault. How am I gonna blame Planet Fitness for me being out of shape? Right? That's just like the king of Israel blaming. He was chosen people, but he ain't been to God in a long time. He ain't been there since his New Year's resolution. He got the year-long membership, and he ain't been there since February. Come on, somebody. How are you going to be not acting right and still blame God for the outcome? God, it must be your fault, even though I continue to live the way I shouldn't live, do the things I shouldn't do. No water for the army or the animals. Here we see that they lack the basic needs. They had everything else right for battle, right? They had their swords, they had their armor, they were probably all polished and shined up. They had their crossbows or whatever they fought with back then, or you know, they had their weapons. They didn't forget their weapons. They didn't forget their animals, their horses. They probably brought their banners to show who was coming to conquer. And they probably brought everything else. But they forgot the basic needs. And that happens so much with us. We got the big leather-bound Bible, right? We got the T-shirt. We got the Jesus Changed My Life T-shirt, right? A Victory Outreach, bam. We got it all. We got all the extras, right? You walk into a car dealership, right? And you're like, yeah, I want the rims. I want the power this. I want the power that. I want the paint job. I want the spoiler. Are spoilers even in? I don't care. I want the spoiler. I want the sunroof. I want it all. But then they're like, well, or do you want the warranty? So what do I need a warranty for? Or do you want the good engine? Well, no one's going to see the engine. They had all the extras, but forgot the basics. Verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Now that is the first smart thing anybody said the whole trip. Come on, somebody. I mean, usually before you go to fight, you would, you know, ask the Lord something like, hey, should we go to fight? But no, here, finally, Jehoshaphat, he says, is there a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire? So what he was really saying is, I think it's time we do this thing God's way. I think it's time we start doing this thing God's way. And every once in a while, you got to stop yourself. You got to evaluate the situation that you're in. And it might be a situation at work. And you got to look at that situation and say, you know what? I think it's time that we do this thing God's way. Maybe your marriage has turned into madness. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to look at your marriage and say, you know what? I think it's time we do this thing God's way. Right? You look at your kids or your family or your bills or your financials. Sometimes you just got to take a time out and say, I've been doing this thing my way so long. Maybe it's time we start thinking about doing the things God's way. Maybe that's the answer to turn this thing around. Sometimes you just got to take a time out and look where you're at in life. Look at your situation. You're planning for the future. You're trying to get things together. It feels like everything's falling apart. Don't you think it's time that we start doing things God's way? Just do things God's way. Do things His way, not your way. Your way got you to where you were at. Come on, somebody. I know when God found me. Oh, come on. I know there's someone in here that can relate. When God found you, you were nobody and had nothing. Oh, but when God came in and you said yes to God, God turned it around. God put your feet upon the rock. He gave you a future. Sometimes we forget what God did. That's why we start doing things the way we want to do them. But if we remember where us got us, then we would give God the keys back to the bus. Come on, somebody. You can write that down if you want. So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elijah, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, listen to this. What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. What he was saying is, you gave up on God a long time ago. Why don't you go to your parents' gods? Why don't you go to Baal? Why are you coming to me? Why are you bringing your problems to me? And see, sometimes that's how we are. That's how we function. We always go where we normally would go. And that's how come nothing ever changes. Because we keep on going to the same place, drinking the same dirty water, and getting sick all over again. You go to the same bad advice time after time after time. I mean, I love my mama. Everybody that's met my mama loves my mama. But I would not ask my mom for marital advice. She's been married single times. Right? Just like, I'm just saying, you would not go to certain people for certain kind of advice, right? If you know they lose their temper a lot, you wouldn't go to them for your issues with your anger problem, right? You don't go to that kind of advice, right? You don't know, I'm not picking on the bald section, but if you had a Barbara and he had a bad hair, I'm not going to say bald, I'm going to say bad haircut. If he had a bad haircut, he had a, you know when they go too high, what is that called? Funniest thing I ever seen in my whole life. When they go real high, when they line them up halfway down their head. Right? Why would you get a haircut there? Right? It's like when you walk in and someone is supposed to be like a personal trainer. I'm going to get back to my notes. I ain't going to go there. You thought I was going to go there. I ain't going to go there. But you get my point. Why would you go to the world for advice on the victory? Because God has the victory. Right? We know the world. The world, all they have is temporary. They have temporary success. They got temporary this. But you know what? God ultimately has the victory. Right? So go. You know what? You need to go to the right places for advice. Let me get back on this thing. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So how many know talk is cheap? Actually, talk is not cheap. Talk is free. It's less than cheap. So here is the king of Israel, right? He's saying something. But talk is free, cheap. So, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king. He said, you know what? There is one among you that loves the Lord. If it was not for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. That's pretty deep. So here we go. They're making all kinds of big talk. They're saying, you know what? I know my parents, I know they worship Baal and all that, but you know what? This is God's battle. And they're saying it with their mouths, but how many talk is? Or, okay. Verse 15, I love this one. What he says, he goes, but now bring me a musician. He says, but now bring me a musician. Because there's something that happens. See, I don't know that if you know that the power that is held in the praise, when you start to praise God, that what happens in the spiritual and in the supernatural, what can take place in the heavenlies, when you begin to praise God, something begins to take place. He says, bring me a musician. Bring me a musician because we need the power of God in this place. See, too many people got it all twisted up, right? They think praise is a reaction, right? That's because that's what the world thinks it is, right? Is all that he's a good worker, he's a good football player. We're gonna give him praise. See, it's a reaction. He did something good. I'm reacting with praise. See, that the world got it all twisted. See, praise isn't a reaction, but praise puts God in action. So when you praise God, something takes place. When you begin to worship the Lord, when you begin to praise and tell God who God is, and you tell God how great God is, something happens. I said Paul and Silas, they knew something was taking place when the walls begin to shake. When you begin to praise God, the hand of God moves. You praise God, God moves. See, what praise does, it activates. When you begin to praise God, something activates in the spirit. Something takes place. Your situation, all of a sudden, a little bit of faith comes in, a little bit of hope. It doesn't seem so dark. Things begin to get a little bit brighter. There's a little bit of hope in the situation. When you begin to praise God, even on your worst day, you just got to praise Him. I said, when I'm going through hell, if I could just shout out a praise, I know everything's going to be all right. God's about to turn it around. When's the last time you just praised for no reason? Praying, everything looks like it's all up against you. Things are going crazy. Life is out of control. All you got to do is shout a praise. And God begins to put all the pieces back together. God opens up a way where there was no way. God begins to move mountains. He begins to do things. See, in the supernatural. All of a sudden, you thought you were through, but then you got a breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Excited. And he said, verse 16. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. So, he calls the musician. Power of God comes. He gets a word from the Lord. And so, picture this whole army. All their animals. everybody, they have what they call cotton mouth. I'm not going to look, but you can raise your hand if you've ever had cotton mouth. So, yeah, they ran out of water. They ain't got no water. They ain't no water. Even their animals had cotton mouths. Come on, somebody. Them, their animals. They're coughing dirt like baby powder. And so they come to the man of God. They get there, all three kings. The musician is playing that worship, and the power of God hits. People crying. Things going on. They said, this is the answer. Something's about to take place. And then the word of God comes. He says, go out there and dig a bunch of ditches. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm thirsty and I'm coughing baby powder, the last thing I want to do is be digging ditches. They didn't have the little bulldozer things. You know what they're called. They don't have those things. They probably didn't even bring shovels. When are you going to bring your shovel to a battle? Right? What are they digging with? I don't know. So, all the army. Cottonmouth. All they're digging ditches. Right? Can you imagine what they must have been thinking? Really? This is the plan. Are you serious? You know I'm thirsty. You know we're tired. You want us to go out here all night and dig these ditches. Digging ditches with no power, it's hard work. They probably had, blisters, they didn't have gloves and stuff, right? Blisters. I don't do a lot of yard work, but every once in a while I'll do some and blister right away. Bam, first 5 seconds. I got like butter skin or something. Just, really? Really? Blister already? But they're out there digging ditches. They're breaking their back and they're sweating, right? And they got to think, do I really got to go through this? Is this really the process that I need to go? Is this really the path that I have to take to get where you want me to go? And so oftentimes, we get down the path that God has for us. And we go through the process that God wants us to go through. And we begin to doubt and have those questions. Really, God? Really, I got to wait this long? Really, I got to do this? Really, a whole year in the home? I can imagine Jehoshaphat. It doesn't say it, but I can imagine. Because Jehoshaphat knew who God was. I can imagine him going around encouraging them. With their coughing up baby powder, they're on cracked lips, and they're digging with their swords or whatever they're digging with. And I can imagine Jehoshaphat walking around and saying, you know what? Just keep on digging. Just keep on digging. Just keep, don't give up. Don't give up in the process. It doesn't matter if you can taste the water yet. It doesn't matter if you can see the storm yet. It doesn't matter. Just keep on digging. I know it's hard. I know when you're digging, I know you get all kinds of stuff on your hands. You may even with blood, and you get blisters. And I know your back's going to start hurting. I know you're going to get tired. But you can't give up. Because even when you're in your process, remember your process is connected to God's plan. You think you're doing what you're doing for no reason? You think God's just like, God has a sense of humor. I'm digging these ditches. No, God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. See what happened. This is what. Woo! Bring this home right here. I get the keyboard player up. It says, "For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink." And this is a simple matter in the Lord's sight. This is a simple thing. Your breakthrough, your provision, your increase to God, it's simple. Okay, He's not even going to break a sweat to get you out of what you're going through. He's not even going to break a sweat. What you think is the whole world, God's going to turn around and it's not even going to, it's done. That thing's done. "Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and you shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every piece of land with stones of the enemy." Verse 20, here it is. "Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water." The clouds didn't even come. Right? What kind of miracle is that? What a miracle would have been rain. Right? Miracle. There was no rain. There was no wind. There was no clouds. It was like Albuquerque. It's like water with sunshine. The miracle, water just appeared. Right? But what did the water appear in? It appeared in the ditches that they dug. Because whatever measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. That's why Jehoshaphat said, "Keep on digging." Because he knew the deeper the ditch, the more the water. See, whatever you do in your dry season, whatever work you put in now, whatever sacrifices you make now, the direct result is the blessing that you receive then. So keep on digging. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Your season's coming. It says the next morning, because how many know that sorrow may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The next morning, the Bible says, as soon as they made their offering, as soon as they gave their grain offering, as soon as they were obedient to their offering. See, what happened is they showed the faith in the digging. The measurement of faith was the same measure that was blessed back to them. But when they were obedient with the offering, see, before then, they would bring their offerings to the false gods. The king of Israel, right? The king of Edom, not Jehoshaphat, but the other two, they would bring their offerings to the false gods. But that morning, they brought their offering to the one true God. And because they activated their obedience, then their measure of faith was rewarded. Because they their measure of faith was rewarded. What are you doing now? What sacrifices are you making right now? I want to challenge you tonight. Even if it's dry, even if you thirst for more of God, even if you feel like you're in the barren wilderness, even if you feel like you're not going anywhere, even if you're only 2 months in the home, even if you're only 2 weeks in the home, even if you feel like you're going through a dry spell, give it all you got and keep digging. Because when your obedience is rewarded, it'll be in direct connection to the measure of faith. that you put in. Let's all stand tonight. If you're here tonight and you feel like you've been around that roundabout route, you feel like you've been taking the long way, you've been thinking, how long can this last? How much longer can I take? If you're there, you say, I don't know if I can do this much longer. I want to see God move in my life. I need a miracle. I need God to provide. I need God to show up. I need God to do something. If that's you here tonight, and you say, I'm ready. I'm ready to make my offering, to bring a sacrifice. I'm ready to do whatever I got to do, to give it all I got for however long it takes. No matter how long my night lasts, I know that soon my morning's going to come. And when the sky breaks, I know that every measure that I've used, every ditch that I dug, is going to be full of the blessings and the favor and the provision of God. If that's you here tonight, and this message spoke to you, I want you to step out of your seats and come to the altar. Come on, don't hesitate. Oh, we worship you, God.
Oh, my God.